Ready.
Ready.
Set.
Yes.
Go.
Okay, it's all you, Ted. We're going.
Hello.
Hi, everyone,
go.
And welcome to Geeks Are Wired.
Go.
Where we talk about...
video games.
TV.
Movies.
Comic books.
And TLDR.
Technology.
And TLDR.
The Internet Things.
Today... oh, wait. You can catch us on Patreon. You can also contact us via phone at...
or text.
Or text.
801-896-4335.
That spells geek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not all of it, just the last part.
Yeah, just the last part spells geek.
The last four. The other part doesn't spell geek because that's too many letters.
Or you can also email us.
That's what I was going to say.
Go for
email
it.
Us at geeksarewired@gmail.com.
Or you can support us
on Patreon.
Patreon.com/geeksarewired.
Geeks are wired.
Spelled out R.
Like a pirate.
ARRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRRR
You get to join us on the Discord channel and chat with us.
And if you give us some money, we might do, like, live web things.
And you also can could access the podcast early.
So early. Early podcasting. It's the best kind of podcasting.
The basement is haunted, Anthony.
So you can tell all your friends about the cool stuff that we talked about a day before and spoil it for them.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
The reason why I was listening, though, was I was wanting to know if that was the AC or if that was the wind.
Yes. Because
the wind is very bad right now.
We are recording on a windy day. It was a bright and windy day.
Full of dust.
And the trees decided that they were going to just lose all of their leaves.
And they were going to start walking around.
The wind stopped.
Because, you know, wind blows down trees. Can.
Yes, I had to deal with that when I walked through national parks. They haven't cleaned up yet.
Yay.
And TLDR, the Internet of Things. So, today, we have Best Home Automation for 2019.
We also have Joey.
We need to introduce people still.
And we have Anthony.
We're 2.5 minutes in.
Worst Anna hosts Bill. Ever.
And then Anna.
And we have Ted.
Yep.
Yay.
The five of us.
Okay, are we good to start now?
I thought we already started.
Are we good to really start?
Bill, when are we going to start the podcast?
I don't know. I think the listeners like us.
We need
the podcast.
To be defragmented.
It happens. So where are we going with home automation?
You should all automate your homes so that they can just walk wherever they want to go.
Do it yourself?
At my house, I've got light switches and some locks and a few lights. That's about it.
Oh, so.
A few?
A while ago.
Okay, so like 32 lights. That's no big deal.
So a while ago, with I don't remember how I got this, but I got a Madame A-enabled switch. Like a power outlet? No, just a power outlet.
Oh, okay.
And I, for the longest time, couldn't think of where to use it because all my lamps that I have smart lights in them. So they don't need to be controlled. And then I got to thinking, a fan. So I hooked it up to a fan.
Because it's hot as heck right now.
And so, and I can just tell it, say, hey, turn the fan on.
Madam A, turn the fan on.
And it turns the fan on.
I have one of those as well, and it's amazing. And all of the fans in my bathrooms are also smart controllered. And I have a ceiling fan that's that way as well.
I just purchased a Danby's in-window air conditioning unit. Not a swamp cooler, just an in-window air conditioning unit. And I was reading through the manual, which is kind of crappy because it's like, I was trying to figure out what the modes meant because there was pictures on it, and like I got one, it looked like a snowflake. I'm like, oh, that's obviously cool, but then there were like three other icons that I didn't really understand what they meant.
Was one of them a sun?
No, it's not a heater.
Hey, you don't know.
if you put it in the window the wrong way, it is a heater.
But then the remote control won't work.
Not what if it was RF powered?
You might need a mirror outside the window.
It bounced off your neighbor's windows.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm reading through the manual, and it said that it's Wi-Fi enabled with certain apps.
Well, see,
so
there you go.
I'm wondering if maybe I can somehow hook it up to G-Man and make it just tell my G-Man to set the thing. or figure out an if this then that integration where it like looks at my nest temperature and kicks it on based on that. I don't even know if that's something I can do, but I've been thinking about like looking into the possibilities.
So it is possible if you would have bought a swamp cooler that you can hook up thermostats to them and control them that way.
Well, that's what his.
Well, so mine.
It's a little different though, because with a swamp cooler, it's just a tourney dial.
Mine's usually a little irritating because it does have like a thermostat on the front of it, but
it's like a digital one, right?
And it doesn't work right. Like it says 70 degrees, and it's clearly like 78, 80 degrees in my room, and it'll turn off. So,
I think the 70 is the set temperature that the AC is set to. So,
yeah, I don't know. It's a little frustrating, and like I'd like it to run the fan continually throughout the night, even if it's not like blowing cold air. I'd like it to continue doing the fan.
Just circulate air.
Yeah, and trying to figure out how to do that is just like impossible. So
it'll just blow. It'll suck in air from the inside and then blow it back out.
Well, from the outside.
No,
and bring it in.
That's not how those AC units work. Just saying. It won't blow in air from the outside.
They don't. They suck in air from the inside.
If
and
you
then
put
they
it, but if you put it on fan only mode, it might have a bypass.
Yeah, there is a fan only mode, and it brings air in from the outside.
Are you sure? That's weird.
Yeah, because like I just watched a video on how those things work. But the way it's described, it shouldn't work like that. But because they have a built-in fan only mode, it might work like that. Like there might be a way for it to like open up a.
You're saying that you don't want to bring the hot air in from outside.
Yeah, usually that's the case.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It has a fan, and I'd like to leave the fan on. But I swear I read that it said you could just bring the cold air out from inside if it was something, I don't know. Maybe,
yeah, and there's probably a bypass for it, because having a fan-only mode and only sucking in the air from the inside is just sounds dumb.
Well, that's what a regular fan does, right? That's why in Korea they think that fan death is a real thing.
They think that fan death.
That's very scary, Ted. Don't leave fans on when you're sleeping. They'll get you.
So there is a thing, and I've actually spoken to at least one Korean who was like, oh, yeah, that's totally, like, you don't leave fans on, you'll die. But
it's a holdover, isn't it?
There's a whole thing that it's believed, and it's a typically South Korean belief that are more strongly held in South Korea. How about that? But that if you have a room where your like doors are closed and stuff, and you have a fan on, like the fan will kill you somehow
while you're sleeping.
Yes,
does it use up the oxygen?
It was started, I think, by the government to conserve energy.
That's the like conspiracy theory. The government was like, we need to save energy, so.
Fans will kill you in your sleep.
Yeah, they'll say fans will kill you in your sleep, and then people would stop running fans all night, and they'd just be hot.
And it would save the government tons of electricity because fans are motors, and those take a ton of electricity to run.
That just reminded me, I just read something recently that in England, speaking about electricity, there are tea brownouts.
Yeah,
so
everyone.
It's tea time, everybody puts their kettle on.
Oh. Well, the thing that decides tea time is like they'll be watching, let's say, soccer, and then it goes to a commercial break, and everyone goes and puts on a pot of tea, and they all use electric kettles now. And so there's this huge load on the grid during commercial breaks on big events.
It's kind of like the huge load on the water system during Super Bowl halftime.
Exactly. Everyone goes to use the restroom, everyone puts on some tea.
Yeah. So that's a thing that was really interesting I was reading about. Because there was a whole thing about, like, differences between Great Britain and America. And it kept, like, jokingly going back to tea. Mm-hmm. And then, like, saying all these facts about tea in Great Britain. And that was the most interesting one that I found. Another interesting thing I read in that little list is that the word quite is different in Great Britain than it is here. So it actually means the opposite in Great Britain. So if I say something is quite heavy, I mean it's very heavy. Like, quite increases the value of the thing that comes after it, right? So if I say it's quite heavy. But in England, it's actually the opposite. If I say something is quite heavy, I mean that it's light.
So the U.S. is quite heavy, as in it's really heavy.
Yes.
Britain is light.
Yes.
Quite.
Yes, quite. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. I dare you.
Safe search off.
And also do quite nude.
Quite.
No.
Well, that's the thing. If you get Great Britain version, they'll be fully dressed.
So, you know, electrical grid, all that jazz. I think home automation could cause some problems. Like, right now, I can turn on and off my entire lights, like the whole house, and I've done it a few times on accident.
Or if you don't have good security, somebody else can.
Yeah, if someone talks to my Google, it's done.
Well, it's not just that, but
they can.
Yeah, well, if there's known security flaws, that's something that actually has been being brought up is with all this home automation. If there is not good security built in behind all this, somebody suddenly turns on all the all these smart switches throughout the entire world, country, area.
Oh, yeah, you could
overload and take down
the power grid. You could
potentially take down a grid. You'd want to do it at, like, nighttime where all of them are off already.
Yeah.
Because if some of them are on, like, if a good portion of them are on and you turn them all on, that's not going to be a huge spike in the load, but if it's like 3 a.m. when most of the lights would be off, then that, even though there's less usage, the spike would be what would hurt it.
There's potential dangers too, though.
So for quite in British English, quite has two different meanings. It does mean completely or entirely, but it also means fairly or rather. This is from Learn English, BBC.UK.
Yeah, so they don't really use the first definition that
completely.
You said.
Completely. So it's like rather heavy. So it still means it's pretty heavy,
yeah.
But not very
they
heavy.
Mean it's slightly heavy.
Means fairly or
heavy.
Rather.
Fairly
rather
heavy. Heavy. Rather heavy.
Slight.
I just think it means like they don't use it as quite as extreme.
Yeah.
Is how that sounds to me.
You're not supposed to use the word to define the word.
It's quite heavy. Can you use it in a sentence? Yes, it's quite heavy. So,
anyways,
home automation, you can do all sorts of things. Like, there's smart shutoff valves. You know, there's sprinkler systems. If you hook up your sprinkler system to automation, someone could break into that and just run your sprinkler continually. They could turn up your AC or down, turn on your heater in summer, get your house up to a nice toasty 120.
My Nest won't turn on my AC in the winter because it will apparently damage the AC.
Yeah, but if there's they could hack it, put it in a different zip code, then it'll let it turn it on.
Or change the time.
Possible.
There's also...
But I think it goes by the I guess it would look at the temperature outside based on the zip code.
They could also
turn
it off in winter or crank it up, you know?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. For sure.
And there's also abusive relationships actually happening from this, too. Somebody installed the stuff, and they just mess with the other person at home.
Oh, yeah. That
or
could be
or they can track you based on, like, the lights are on in the house. I just saw this light come on.
Yeah.
What are you doing up? Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? One of the things, so I think the Z-Wave and the Zigbee, where you have to go through a hub instead of just connecting the devices to the Wi-Fi, that gives you an extra level of... whatever, because if you've got like 20 Wi-Fi enabled devices in your house and there's something that's found wrong, like you have to patch 20 different devices.
Right. So
right.
But
if you've got a hub, there's one point of failure.
At the same time though, I guess it's nice having, you know, some like the hub manufacturer doing the security for you. They're going to put in some serious money into it and they're going to pay some experts. That's one of the things I've heard for why you should go with Amazon for hosting your stuff is because they pay some people a lot of money to do things right. They can do security better than you can. But if you have everybody on this SmartThings hub, that makes it more lucrative to find an exploit for that hub.
For sure. Ubiquity means that's why Macs were supposedly always free of viruses is because PC had the huge share, but as soon as Mac got a bigger share of the market, you started seeing viruses show up for Macs as well. So, I mean, you're always going to have that, but at the same time, when an exploit like that comes out, people find out about it pretty quickly, unless it's like the CIA that figures that out, then it stays hidden because they want to use it.
Wow.
For at least 5 years before it becomes public.
Yeah, but so the thing is that it should be patched pretty quickly, and it's going to be easier to patch.
It depends on who, you know, finds it. If someone decent finds it, or someone that's not planning on doing anything super bad with it, it might be found quickly, but they might make a large-scale attack beforehand.
Or them not wanting to do anything with it, but them not wanting to get in trouble. There's places where you can just put this stuff out there. Somebody will pay you money. Like, I don't want to do anything with this. I'm out.
Well, okay. People will
sit on... And somebody else still takes it and runs with it.
Yeah, people will sit on zero-day exploits and try to, you know, wait. But yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, I think it's better to be in the majority than try to deal with any sort of security through obscurity. Because if you're on, like, a homegrown set, wow, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not great, because then you're responsible for fixing anything. But at the same time, you're not going to get hit by some script kiddie. You're going to get hit by someone who's, like, knows what they're doing. Probably.
I think the thing about the home gamer is there's different levels of it. So there's the people who are going to just get the Wi-Fi thing. They're going to do it themselves. There's people who are just going to say, I just want the smart thing stuff, you know, buy Samsung. I'll buy everything that they put out and I'll just run with it. And then there's going to be the more advanced home gamers that are going to build their own devices. They might be a little bit more clever. You know, they'll subnet it, put a firewall between it and the internet. And so I think that those homespun things, people are just going to be like, this isn't worth my time, you know?
Right, unless someone has, like, a real good, like, reason they want to. And sometimes the real good reason is this is a challenge. Like, some people are out there just to, you know, this is just a challenge. I'm just going to...
At the same time, though, if you're a home gamer, you know, you got your own little, Arduinos and stuff running your lights or whatever, someone hacks into that, you're gonna have some fun, like, kicking them out, you know, rebuilding your network, whatever. So, I mean, it's a game.
Maybe.
Yeah, depending on what they do with it. If they just turn your sprinkler system on for the whole week you're on vacation, you're probably not going to be very happy, but...
Yeah. No, because I do. I have a friend who's got his whole thing set up on a Pi. His home automation, which he runs through Alexa, is actually set up on a Raspberry Pi in his basement. It's a pretty cool little setup. So,
yeah, I think the next step for me is Home Assistant running on like a Docker container.
I've heard about that. Usually, you try to get multiple or external hard drives you can partition. And so, ideas on both of your things, especially you're talking about if this and that, having a separate thermostat instead of where you're having problems with yours. You talked about the bathroom fan.
Yes.
So you could also have a sensor in there that recognizes particles.
Farts.
That.
Humidity.
That's the other one. And humidity. So
and
it
automatically turns on when your shower's on. Yeah, that's actually a pretty common one. People can do that. I also want to get a thermostat because I have heated floors. And so that humidity thing could be very useful because I could just have my heated floors kick on as soon as they detect I'm in the shower or something. And then it can kick on the fan. It can do...
Or early in the
stuff.
Morning,
why,
you know, before you walk
yeah,
into the bathroom.
Want, timer
why would you want your floors to be warm after you get out of the shower? Wouldn't you want it to be warm before you got in the bathroom to begin with?
I mean, probably, but...
A little bit both.
You know, you jump in the shower, then your feet are, like, nice and warm from the shower. You don't want to step on a cold floor.
Well,
it's worse after you're
in the
shower.
I don't want to step on the floor at all. I'll step on it like we got the... That's what the bathrooms are for.
Well, I mean, you know, your bath towel or whatever, or your rug that's on the floor, it'll be nice and toasty, too. It's going to heat up with the floor.
Maybe. I don't know. I do like the whole humidity there. That's
I really want the heat registers, the heat vents. They're smart ones, but they're very expensive. And if you do that, you could have, like, zoned heating in your house. So mm-hmm. It could be, like... This room is a little cold, and so it can close all the other vents and direct heat to that room. They run like $80 a piece right now, and so that's a little bit too expensive for me.
The moisture sensor also a if you can't afford those, if you have the showers that actually are a door instead of a curtain.
Oh yeah, you can put a door sensor on it.
Yeah, when it recognizes like this has been closed, oh this has been opened.
On the fan. Yep. Oh man, that's genius.
But that's also only if you have the... It's an older style because a lot of now curtains or a lot of the doors have been ripped out.
So the door sensors usually have a little magnet in them, right?
Yeah.
And so you could totally do that with a shower curtain.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I guess you could, yeah.
This is the best argument I've ever heard for a shower door.
What's the other ones? The for laundry room where you have your washer is only regular power. You have a power sensor on it so it recognizes when So when it stops, and if you have a door sensor on the dish or on the clothes washer, if it hasn't been opened, you get notifications. Hey, your laundry's still wet in the washing machine.
That's really smart. And I've actually heard a few arguments for this. So those smart outlets, they tell you the draw of the device on them, and then you can turn on and off the device via Wi-Fi. But if you're just using it for the draw, usually a washer or dryer or whatever will run, and then it stays on until you open that door. And then the power draw will drop off completely because it goes to sleep. I actually have one of those in my house, just one smart outlet that is like a brick that you plug into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we use it for my girlfriend's curling iron. When she uses it and she leaves the house, she always freaks out and she's like, did I unplug that? And so what we've done is we plug it into this brick, and then when you unplug it from the wall and plug it back in, it turns off whatever device is on the far side of that. And so over software, she can turn it on or off, and then her her curling iron also does the same thing. So if it's unplugged and plugged back in, you have to press a button on the curling iron. But that way she can say, okay, it is plugged in, and it has zero draw. So she knows she turned it off, or she can turn it off manually while away.
And a lot of those things will turn off automatically. Anna had a hair straightener that she left on for plugged in and on for 2 days that would beep every so often. And I was like, maybe you should get that, because I was actually really sick at this time. And like, I kept hearing it beep, and I'm like, oh, someone should do something about that, but I don't want to get out of bed.
I think it was still off the as it's plugged in. I think it does have to be notified by beeping.
But she was like, it's fine. But I was like, it's beeping for a reason.
Yeah,
I just can't get out of bed.
But the smart bricks, too, same thing. So like, if you have a plug that the wall isn't, you know, holding on very well, if you don't unplug it from the smart outlet, but the smart outlet from the wall, when you plug that back in, it's usually in the off state.
Right. I've also heard that a good use for them is if you have some older tech. So let's say you have like an old coffee pot.
Oh, yes.
And it just starts brewing as soon as you put some water in it or something.
Are you going to bring it in the toaster?
No. I had a percolator that I actually did that.
So
as soon as you plug it in, it turned on.
Exactly. So as soon as it gets water, it's going. And so you could just put one of those between it. You can put water in it at night with it off, and then you can set up an automation to kick on at 6:30 a.m. or something, and then you got fresh coffee on your dumb coffee pot that's now a smart coffee pot.
Yeah, totally. And that's even modern percolators.
Some of those old ones just, you know, burned houses down.
Also,
it can turn on and then turn off.
With the tea thing, a lot of popularity with the water heaters for tea.
Yeah, the electric kettles, yeah. Those are, you can just have them kick on, kick off, and then you got hot water ready. There's a lot of options.
Turns out if you use milk in those kettles, by the way, ruins the kettle.
Yeah, it burns the milk to the elements, and then
the
burnt milk.
Overheat.
Yeah, the burnt milk is an insulator, and then it ruins the coils.
Plus the water tastes really bad after that for a little while.
I bet.
But yeah, the burner will burn out eventually.
Hmm.
Like, very, very soon after you use milk in there.
Good to know.
Got this film on it. Not a lot of people on this side of the pond use those auto percolators. I really like them. Like, when I was in Russia, my girlfriend had one. And it was not my girlfriend anymore, by the way. But don't tell Anna. But
well, you said not anymore. You're safe.
Those kettles, like, were really nice. You just fill them up, click them in, and they're boiling like
real
like that,
fast,
like super quick. It's surprising how quickly they get up the heat.
Well, it's wall voltage straight into the into the water.
Well, yeah, but still.
Well, we started using percolators after we went camping because it was just nice. You put this little metal thing on the fire, and it was amazing. We're like, this tastes awesome. We're investing in one for the house.
That's cool.
So you put it on the stove.
If the coffee pot ever breaks, we actually pull that out and put it on the stove and warm up, coffee that way.
My friend has like a French press thing. He like puts the hot water in the thing and then he pushes down on it and then the coffee's there. I have no idea if it tastes better or worse than other coffee because I don't like coffee.
Somebody said it reduces the amount of acid. I have a French press too. Yeah, we've done quite the range of coffees and I'm like,
sometimes I feel like I'm missing out on like some cultural like bonding experience because I don't like beer, and like a lot of my friends are really into beer. They're like very very descriptive on like how hoppy or bitter or stout or whatever.
I'm in the exact same boat.
Yeah, and I'm like, it tastes gross, just like every other beer I've ever tried.
I have coworkers, and they're like, you got to try this grapefruit beer. And I'm like, okay, grapefruit's okay. It's really bitter. Beer is nasty. I don't think grapefruit beer would be good.
I had some. Remember that, Anthony?
How was it?
Remember when we came back from Idaho Falls that one day and that car went flying off the road? And we went to that sushi place and I had that J-Pop and it was grapefruit beer. That's what it was. And it tasted like beer. Okay. I was intrigued. I was like, maybe it doesn't taste as bad as most beers. No, it was still kind of gross.
All right. So because you don't like beer, you probably won't like this, but my favorite is Huckleberry. Yellowstone has some really good huckleberry beer.
I bet they do if you like beer.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna try so.
Huckleberry beer.
Fruity beers are the only thing I'm okay with. Like ciders are okay.
I like the wheat. I like the wheat beers.
Cider's not really a beer.
Mike's hard watermelon.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I don't think that qualifies as beer.
Mike Blood Orange. Those are good too.
I haven't had that one.
That one's pretty okay.
I like the hard watermelon.
It's mostly sugar.
The Mike's hard watermelon is super good. Super, super good. But yeah, so I just
I know for nobody being a really big beer drinker really or anything, like we have our opinions.
That's another thing you could automate, some brewing in your garage.
Well, that's like IPAs. Actually, I was looking into that. So yeah. IPAs don't require any temperature control, so anybody can make it.
So you just like throw it in a barrel and leave it?
Yeah, you walk away. The other ones, when you start going in all these specialties, you have to start dealing with temperature control, so you could start automating.
Pressure and all that jazz. I have a neighbor that brews in his free time. He used to do beer, but now he's a family man, so he does soda.
Hey!
And I think that's pretty cool. He noticed I was working in my garage one day, and I was about to leave, so I like closed up the garage and went inside, and then he like knocked on my door, and I answered the door, and he hands me this cup, and he's like, here, I brewed this, and I'm like, it is beer, and he's like, it's soda, and I was like, oh, okay, and he's like, it's a root beer, but it doesn't look dark like a root beer, and it was really good. It was more like I think it was supposed to be like a sarsaparilla or something.
Okay, so that might not be as bad, because like usually homemade root beers are extra broody and very.
This one was nice. It was sugary, and it was really carbonated, and he said that he had so much. I think it like took up a ton of sugar, and so it wouldn't hold the carbonation as well. So it took him like 2 days to get it to dissolve into the thing. But I think that'd be a cool like home automation type project, you know, like set up all your gauges and whatever, and then just have it inject it for 2 days and make sure it doesn't blow up on you.
If you really, really want to, you can roast your own coffee beans.
Oh man.
I have a friend who actually did that for a while. It was interesting. Like you have to listen for how many times it pops. It'll crack.
Okay, yeah.
And
you
start letting it go too long, it'll, you know, usually everyone goes, so Starbucks, it's the extra burnt coffee.
So you get that linear flavor.
Yeah.
That's how you also do popcorn, right?
Yeah.
You put it in the microwave.
Listen to the pops.
No one cooks popcorn the way that I grew up having popcorn. Like, microwave popcorn ruined the popcorn experience for me. Because, you either had the air popper, or some people had like a special skillet that they use
for the stove.
Yeah, and you pop it on there. And I've tried cooking it on the stove without, like, it just burns the crap out of it. You'll have like three kernels that are just black, and then the rest of them haven't popped yet. But as soon as one pops, it just burns. It's hard to do that right.
You can still buy those little tins. They have them. Mm-hmm.
Like the ones that you spin?
No. So they have a little tiny handle on them, and then they've got like it looks like almost like a pie tin, and then they have tin foil.
Those are
and
like the pop secret from Scream.
And you put them straight on
Jiffy Pops.
Yeah, and you put them straight on the oven and on your range, and you just pop them. I don't think you're supposed to do it with like a gas range.
No, you're supposed to do it with gas. You shouldn't do it with electric.
It works with electric.
It does. It works way better with gas.
Just don't touch the handle.
Really?
I don't know. I was like, if it's electric, I'm not sure. I mean, most pots are metal anyway, so.
Yeah, I was like, usually it disperses the heat from the handle.
He's thinking about getting shocked, I think.
That's what he's going
for. No, but they have those kits now that you can, like, they're like a stainless steel, or no, I think mine's aluminum, but like I got it for Christmas from someone gave it to me. And it has like a little spinner on it, and it just spins the popcorn like
that. Yeah, because you got to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. You gotta keep it all moving, otherwise.
And it works pretty well.
When the popcorn pops, it just sits there and then it burns.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the air heaters were the ones that used a lot. So you put all the seeds in the air heater. You put a little butter in the top part.
So it melts.
So it would melt it based on the hot air, and then it would use the hot air to pop it, and then it would just all come out, and then you wouldn't get that many seeds in there because the seeds never came up and out. But now everything's microwave popcorn, so.
Oh, no, we have an air popper, and it's really, you're right. We have it, we're like, in case we want to use it one day.
And you never use it, because the...
Air poppers don't taste right.
Well,
oh, no, they taste right. It's just a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and you got to be careful. Like, you got to do the butter just right, because if you just, like, one kernel will soak up like all the butter, and then it'll just get all weird. So you got to like get the butter in there properly and stuff. It's like there's an art to making good air pop popcorn, but if you just throw a bag in the microwave, you're fine.
So I have a it's like a 1940s full size popcorn machine. I got it at an auction. I need to restore it, but I have ideas for home automation for it. It's got some lights and stuff that are up in the top. It's
probably got some good heat. We could just, you know, turn it on side, let it roast some coffee beans.
Yeah, you could do all sorts of things with it.
And then every popcorn after that would taste horrible, Bill. Thank you. No.
We'll sell it as artisan coffee
popcorn.
Oh,
there you go.
hipsters popcorn. Will love it. The cool thing about this one is that it has a Pyrex dish, and so the
old school Pyrex too.
Yeah. So where you actually put the kernels and stuff is Pyrex with a metal bottom, and then it still has like a spinny thing that stirs the corn while it's cooking. But you can actually watch it all pop while it's going. So
that's really cool.
It's pretty cool. I just have to convert it to 110 because it's on 220 right now.
Oh,
yeah. So sure. That'll be a fun project at some point.
Yeah.
Until then, it's going to sit collecting dust in the garage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happens.
Good you could just install a 220 plug into your garage.
I mean, that's an option, but I'd like to be able to have it, like, in a basement or something at some point without needing a 220 plug.
Not just that.
You don't want somewhere.
To convert it to 110, what do you have to do? Just have something
I might
up convert voltage.
I don't know. It depends.
Because it probably needs all the amps that 220 provides.
I need to look into it. I think there are better heating elements that I can get at this point for the kettle. And then
fair enough.
There is a blower fan that's used for something. I'm not sure. Probably cooling or getting rid of the oil vapor. And then there's also a motor that runs the stirrer. And then there's the lights on top. But if I think I did some math a while ago, and the lights themselves, it's wired up for like 4 or 6 lights or something, and those were 60 watt bulbs. And so if I switch those out for LEDs, I think I'm fine to go to 110.
Yeah. Wow. And also, you don't want to install a 220 because maybe you'll forget one day, and then you plug in a computer, and now you have a dead computer.
Right. There's also a
magic smoke.
I mean, the plugs are a little different, so I'd probably not do that.
They're quite a bit different.
But
okay, in the U.S., if you have them, yes.
Yeah.
There are ones just look exactly the same.
Yeah. There is a drawer on it that has it's the butter drawer where since this is like a full size popcorn machine like you'd see in like a theater or something. And it has a drawer that has a popcorn warmer and a pump. So you literally just throw in blocks of butter and add some salt, and it'll melt it, and then it'll suck it right up into the kettle for you. There's a switch that you hold, and it'll inject butter into the kettle.
Sounds like this is the beginning of a theater room in your house.
This is the end goal, yes.
Okay.
I have other ideas, but I'll take them offline.
Oh, okay. But wait.
Mainly it involves giving it to me.
Oh.
See, now you're excited and you want it to collect dust in your garage.
Yes, I do.
So, speaking of popcorn, what'd you guys think of those popcorn chips?
They're gross. I don't like them.
Okay. What popcorn chips?
Yeah. The ones that we had at
work. We had it in a meeting.
They're called like the... Let me pull up the...
I did not get any of those.
Oh.
I didn't either.
They were
dry and...
They
were called popcorners.
They
looked like Doritos.
Oh,
They looked like Doritos, but they were made from popcorn instead. And so
they just tricked you?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to try it. I was intrigued, but I was unpleasantly Surprise.
I saw that.
I like the white cheddar ones. And the
when I got to it, all I saw was the sea salt, and I was like,
the sea salt one, I don't know. I didn't get a chance to take it. Get it.
It wasn't. I was a no. I was a hard pass on that one.
The white cheddar was good, though.
Have you ever tried the veggie straws or the veggie chips?
Yes, I have. Those are better than that.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Because the veggie chips, sometimes people are like, I kind of like the lightness of those, and they have just enough flavor. Not like a full-on vegetable. Yeah.
I like the veggie. The veggie straws are okay. I mean, I probably wouldn't buy them on my own, but if given the option to eat them or the popcorn ones, I probably would go for those because the popcorn ones were just blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So everybody hates them. Got it.
Do not.
Or did not try them.
I've never tried them before.
I don't think anybody tried them except for me, Anthony. Well,
you
like
and Anthony.
Oh.
I didn't get any.
What?
Your phone's making noises.
He just wanted to hold your hand.
I want to hold your hand. Yeah. Or maybe it was Ted. I don't know. Maybe it was mine. All our phones are making.
Someone's phone is making noises.
No, it's mine.
Sounded like blah, blah, blah.
Did I show you the iOS 13?
iOS 13 has a dark theme.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it look like a...
And look at those teeny tiny icons.
An Android tablet. It's basically an Android now. We've come full circle now, haven't we?
But look, you can...
For a long time...
You can hold on. You need to talk on the mic.
For a long time, all the other phones were trying to look like the Apple phone. And now... The Apple stuff is starting to look like Android stuff.
Except for when you turn outside, you actually have useful. You have like the useful shortcuts.
You can get widgets.
That's a widget. iOS
not? Looks like
they're
a
not
widget.
Widgets. They're the. I mean, they're widgets, but they're not like the widgets.
They're
that
not
you're
called widgets.
Yeah,
no,
they're not called widgets.
They actually are called widgets, but they're and not like the.
They work slightly differently.
The widgets that you put on Android, they're pretty locked down as far as what you can do.
They're widgets, but not as functional.
It's this stuff.
Yeah, it's widgets. See, it literally says. You can add
fancy
widgets.
is that a new feature?
No, the widgets have always been.
Yeah,
okay.
It's
similar to Google.
I'm on 12 still.
When you swipe to the side. So on 12, it fills the whole screen. On 13, it fills up half the screen, which also means when you turn it sideways, it just kind of chills there outside.
And it's not even half the screen. It's like a third of the screen.
Well,
very fancy.
When you have it
vertically.
Horizontally, that's horizontal.
This is horizontal?
Yeah, when you have it horizontally, right, yeah. It takes like a third of the screen, and it's a little bit more reasonable. When you have it vertical, it basically takes the whole screen. Like,
well, they used to take
it
whole
takes
screen.
Half, but it takes up enough of the screen that you don't want anything else in the other one, I would
it,
say.
It also kind of blurs out the other, like,
yeah,
the rest
it
of the
is
screen.
All blurred
so
out.
Why doesn't it just take up the whole screen?
Well, that's what it did in 12, and I kind of wish you could, like, stack them side by side.
Oh, yeah, two widgets would be cool.
Or two rows of, or columns.
Two widgets.
Yes.
Yeah, widget wars.
I just really want to talk about that.
Ta-da!
We should probably be done, though.
Okay, famous last words.
I just want to say widgets.
Home automated popcorn.
Home automated scuba.
Home automated coffee.
Popcorners. I don't know. Yay. Goodbye, everyone.
Popcorners is soup.
No.